Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. To begin our Bible study, we always begin with devotion. So we're going to hear from Yolanda Adams as she sings, Open My Heart. Then we'll have scripture. Dr. Nooks, I'll give you an Ephesians passage. I'll text it to you. And then we'll have prayer. Thank you.
Open my heart.
4, 1 through 6. And you can either, Dr. Nix, read that in the New Living or in the Message, whichever one you prefer, if you will. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Is anybody on the line? Hello? Maybe you can't hear me. Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6.
Okay. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run, on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Would you bow your heads with me as we go before the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, this is your Bible study. And we just ask that you come mightily tonight and that you manifest yourself. Lord, you know what needs to be done tonight. You know what needs to be said. You know the hearts that need to be touched. You know the passages that need to be read. We're just asking that you would come and manifest yourself mightily to us, that we could sit at your feet and we could review your word and to learn how we should be able to battle our relationships victoriously with you. We praise you, we glorify you, and we ask that you continue to be with us as we go forward in this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, tonight we're going to do a little bit of studying and talking about the battle for marriages and relationships. We've been talking about how the enemy, we spent a lot of time over the months talking about the battles, spiritual battles, warfare. One of the things that Dr. Nix came up with as we studied and we prayed over this was the battle for our relationships and our marriages. And so as we go through that, we're going to do for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to have a godly relationship and then talk about a little bit about power and control over the next 2 weeks. We're going to ease into that, though. We're going to start off talking tonight about what does it mean to have a godly relationship. And then when we talk about that, we want to also talk about how the enemy gets involved and tries to destroy that relationship and how we then have to begin to battle to have a godly marriage, to keep a marriage. And I know that lots of people, you know, as a counselor, I have lots of stories about people struggling to keep their relationships and to live a relationship for the Lord. So it's not an easy task. And so tonight, this is how we're going to start off. We're going to start off asking those of you in the studio, and I'm not sure who's here, so I'll do a roll call to begin. So who's in the studio tonight? Let me send another text out because folk often forget about the Bible study and say, Bible study is now. And so we're going to talk about what does it mean to be in a godly relationship. What do you think God intends for our relationships? Anybody want to start off? We got, who's on the line? I'm sorry, who's on the line tonight? I know Dr. Nooks, you're here because you read.
Yeah.
Is anybody else
Brian
on the line
from
tonight?
Maine.
Okay, so it's the three of us so far. Brett did say that he would be joining us later. So we're going to start off with the three of us. And that's what we want to talk about. What do you all think it means to have a godly relationship? Brian or James?
This is James. I think a godly relationship is one that has God at the center of the relationship, and one that acknowledges God as the head of the relationship, and the people that are in the relationship are striving to do what God wants them to do and to enhance their relationship with God. Or in other words, in order to have a successful relationship with others that profess to be Christians, we must have a relationship with God. And if they're not Christians, it's difficult, if not impossible, to have a godly relationship with them. You can have a relationship with them, but it won't be a godly relationship. So,
That's deep, Dr. Nooks. Because, and the reason why that's so important is because many times we get involved and we ignore that the scripture says be equally yoked. So is that important? I mean.
Yes, it's very important. I mean, even if you can have a relationship with, sometimes you can lead a person to Christ that you're in a relationship with, and the Bible speaks about that. But it's really difficult because if they don't know God and you know God and you have a relationship with God, then they really don't understand you. And you really can't connect with where they are even. You can try to understand because we've come from there. But if you're striving to do what God wants you to do, then there's automatically going to be some conflict because you aren't moving together. You aren't walking together. You can be buddies, you can be friends, but there's something that will be missing, and that's the connection that both of you have with God.
Well, the Bible says, and go ahead. I was just going to say, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And so, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, another aspect of that, which is really critical, is in a godly marriage, which is a covenant between two people and God as one covenant, including those three entities, the Christian person would be striving to develop a stronger and more clear worldview, which is a Christian worldview, whereas the other person who is not Christian would not be striving to develop themselves and improve their outlook of life from a Christian perspective, but would be developing life from a worldly or potentially even a satanic perspective, which of course is what unequally yoked really means. And therefore, I've seen very, very few relationships work for very long where that was occurring.
But the reality is that many of our relationships don't start with both people being Christians. So if neither of the people are Christians when they get married, is it a godly marriage? And if it is not a godly marriage, how then can you begin to put rules and regulations later on when the relationship didn't begin as a godly marriage? I'm just throwing some questions out that I hope that we can come to the answer, because many people, these are some of the questions that people ask when they come to counseling is, you know, we started off, we got married and neither one of us were married. I mean, excuse me, neither one of us were Christians. So is that a godly marriage or not? And obviously, Dr. Nook said, if God was not in the center of it, it's not a godly marriage. So you didn't establish a covenant with God in the first place.
That's correct. Yeah, I believe that to be correct as well. Essentially, when two Christian people who are, you know, who have surrendered to Christ and have asked him to be their Savior get married, really two things happen. There's a godly covenant which forms, and there's an earthly legal document which gets signed, tying assets together. But personally, I've pondered this for a long time as well. I think if people are both not saved, then all they get really is an earthly document.
That's all that I would think. What do you think, Dr. Nuts? What do you biblically, seeing?
Yeah, I agree with that. I just like for us to just, you know, think about really, because I know people that are both Christians and they get married and marriage falls apart. And I struggle with the connection and the submissiveness to God. And I know you're going to talk about power struggle next time or some other time. But I think even though we make a commitment to God and we say that we love God, I think we still struggle with that war that's going on inside of us. And I think there's still a power struggle, even though we are supposed to be submissive to God. I think in spiritually, that's where we should be. But sometimes that's not where we are as far as being submissive to God and allowing God to rule the household and lead the household. And we get into struggles about who's in charge and who's going to do this, who's going to do that. And we also find ourselves going off in different paths that are not where God wants us to go, but it's where we want to go. And
right. And so right now we're going off in different paths. So let's slow down. What I asked is originally the question, and that's so that we stay focused and don't go too far out in too many different directions. The first question I asked was asking us the question about what do you think about the relationships? Because, see, there are different kinds of relationships. There's a relationship when you can establish with two individuals who do not know the Lord. Those two individuals that don't know the Lord, can they have a godly marriage? And we've already said the answer is no. So that's one type of marriage. Another marriage is where you can have one person being a Christian and the other one is not. The other type of relationship we can look at is both people who are Christians. And so we know that there are a variety of kinds. That's why I asked the question, is it important to be equally yoked? And then Dr. Nooks gave us the answer that absolutely it's important. And the reason why is because of that. That's the next steps we need to take. And then when we move from there, we can start talking about all the dynamics that come involved to create the challenges for the battle that occurs in the relationship. I don't want to go so far that we ignore the process. So,
yes.
So, as we begin, we were talking about what are some of the things that kind of I wanted to take us back to just focusing on being equally yoked. And we got other people on the line tonight. Nice to see you, Sylvia. Nice to see you, Brett. You don't have to, Joseph, you don't have to talk. Just thank you for joining us tonight and listening in. Brett, are you going to be involved with us tonight? Do you know?
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. So our discussion tonight is major. It's so significant. We are talking about the battle for marriages and relationships. And so we began with the question of what constitutes a godly marriage. And so as Brian and James both said, what constitutes a godly marriage is that which both people is that in which God is in the middle or the center of the marriage. We talked about two people who don't have a relationship with God do not have a godly marriage. We are not going to focus on that type of marriage. The next type we talked about is a marriage where you can have one being a Christian and the other that's not. So with that, we find that people are what we call unequally yoked. So we had the discussion and we looked up the scripture that talked about how we are not been, how we've been admonished not to be unequally yoked. And so here we are at this juncture saying, why is it that, because this is where the battle begins, why is it that we are not supposed to be unequally yoked? So let's start back there. And I think Dr. Nooks has started us off, and he began to talk about the types of conflict that can occur. So Dr. Nooks, we have more people who joined us since you started talking about that, how you led into being unequally yoked and some of the conflict that occurs. Can you repeat that again?
Just conflicts for being unequally yoked, or what it means to be unequally yoked.
Well, what does it mean to be? Let's start with what it means to be unequally yoked.
To be unequally yoked is when one person is a believer in God and seeking God and Jesus as a Savior, and the other person is not. And it's so important because for them thus to be equally yoked, because we don't have the same purpose, we don't have the same guide, we don't have the same relationship with God, so one has their eyes on the prize, and the other one isn't looking at the prize. They're not looking at Christ or even trying to follow what Christ would have us to do. And I think, you know, Christ talks about the fact that we need to love, and I really think we have a hard time loving if we're not equally yoked, because the one has the love of God and the love of Christ, the other one doesn't. And so we have a love that maybe is brought together by one, maybe physical or for some other reason, but not a godly reason, and the other one having a godly reason to be yoked. And it's unequal yoked, and it's – go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question about that, Dr. Nooks. So can a person – and this is for the whole group – can a person who is a – who okay, now you know in a spiritual development you have a person that's spiritually dead and you have an infant in Christ or a babe. Are you equally yoked if you one's a mature Christian and the other's a babe in Christ? That's discussion.
Yeah.
I would say
I believe
yes.
So. As long as they're in Christ. But if they're not in Christ, then you're unequally yoked. Because all of us are going to be at different stages in our growth. You like to have two mature Christians marry each other, but often that is, or come together in a relationship, but that's often not the case. and one is further along in their understanding and relationship with God than the other is.
Anybody else have any perspectives on that? Because I would like to really delve into that, because I don't think if two people, you can be a person, there are people who have been married, I mean, who've been in the church for 75 years, and they're still babes in Christ and aren't growing. And yet you have some people who are maturing, and they're intentionally trying to grow and grow and grow. And I think that's unequally yoked. Now, that's just me. But and because I'm leading the Bible study, I got to go back and study that tonight and bring that back, because that's the issue.
Dr. Susan, I think that's where the fight comes in for our relationships and for our marriages is when we are.
Okay, go ahead.
When one is maybe a spiritual babe and the other one is a spiritual adult, then there's going to be some conflict, and there's going to be, if both of you are in Christ, if you want your marriage or your relationship to grow, then I think there's a fight results, because Satan is trying to tear that marriage up or that relationship up. And so, you know, we're talking about fighting for our marriages and our relationships, our spouses. So I think that's where a fight comes in at, and where we need God to help us. And sometimes if both people aren't on their knees seeking God for help, and that's even more difficult. And one has to be praying, saying, God, help me with this man, or help me with this woman, you know, give me the strength, help us to understand. I think that's where our fight comes in.
Anybody else? What does anybody else think about that?
I think that that's true. And also, I mean, we all know this, but just to state the obvious, this is an extremely critical and far-reaching topic, because on Earth, at least, the fundamental relationship between man and woman, we refer to as marriage under a godly covenant, is supposed to be and should be the foundational building block of the family, and therefore of society, and therefore of community. And that's where the battle rages, and that's where Satan places much of his effort at confounding family, society, and community.
Well, you know, I hear you guys, and I hear what you're saying when you talk about that to me, and I agree with this, to be yoked, period, to be yoked, you both have to be Christians. And to me, to be equally yoked, you both have to have similar passions and desires on what your goals for your relationship with God are. That's for me. And I'm going to honestly admit that I need to study that to bring that back. I'm just going on what I'm saying. Because I believe that you can have a person who is a spiritual babe who doesn't want to be active in the church, who doesn't want. I know people, I know for a fact ministers, and I've pastored, I've counseled ministers who married women who were Christians, but they were babes, and they did not want to be the first lady. And all kind of problems evolved because they were not equally yoked and going in the same direction with the same focus of ministry. She did not want to be that involved in ministry or that involved in the church. She loved the Lord, wanted a relationship, but she didn't want the intimacy that he was seeking. And so it caused a big rift because they weren't going in the same direction. So, you know, was she a Christian? Yeah, but she did not have the same passion as he did about the Lord and about ministry and about service. So what do you guys say about that?
I agree.
I want y'all to disagree with me. I want to get some answers. Come on. Come on, Brett.
Okay. My dad and I had this discussion way back in the 60s because he was saying, just like a lot of people say, or saying that the Bible says this and that and first one thing and another. But when I read it, and this has stuck with me because at the time there was a young lady that I was thinking about getting married to, and I wanted to find out when it talks about being equally yoked. But then when I read it, 2 Corinthians 6:14, if I'm not mistaken, it says, do not be with somebody that is that's an unbeliever. But to me,
right,
everything that it takes for two people to start merging into one, depending on whether you're a Christian or they're a Christian or somebody's not a Christian, it's got to be a firm foundation. That firm foundation has to be Jesus Christ. Because as
okay, we
know,
we all agree with that.
Right. So the thing is,
okay,
if that person has everything going for them, but they're kind of hee-hawing back and forth about whether they want to be a Christian, don't want to be a Christian, you have to weigh what you have. And sometimes it takes not to make that move immediately, but give it time and take that person with you to church and allow them to understand what it is about the word of Jesus Christ. Eventually, that person will come around. My youngest son's mother.
But, Brett, what we're talking about now, we're talking about people who are on the same page, who are in relationship with God. We're not going to talk about the couples that aren't. We're talking about two believers, one that's not as strong as the other. So these are people that have a relationship with God. The question is...
In that case, as long as they both have a relationship with God and they're believers, there's no problem with that. Because that takes away from Corinthians 6:14. It talks about unbelievers. But if both of y'all believe, then you got other factors
that has nothing to do
with Christianity that you have to be on the same accord. Does that make sense?
Well, see, the problem, Brett, that they're having, and this is a real couple, the problem is that she doesn't want to be first lady. All she wanted to do is to go and worship. She didn't want the responsibilities and all the commitment and all that work. So these are two people who have two different ideas of what they want to do in service.
Right. And she
considered to be equally yoked? Do you consider that equally yoked?
Yes. And here's the reason why I say that. Keep in mind that whoever the pastor is, if he's the pastor, he was called by God, or he should have been called by God. If he falls in love with somebody and he wants to make this person his wife, that does not mean that she has to be sitting up in church as, quote unquote, the first lady of the church and act accordingly the way a lot of people think a minister's wife should be. That just doesn't work out that way.
But that won't that cause problems?
No.
Yes.
That's one opinion. That's one opinion. So hold your perspective, Brett. Anybody else? Let's talk about this issue because we're talking about trying to look at these are people who are unequal and they're unequal. I call it unequally yoked. Y'all don't say that. Go ahead, James.
This is James. I think we're getting maybe caught up in definitions and semantics here.
Okay.
I think according to the Bible, if they are both believers, they're equally yoked. I think their commitment to God is different depending on where they are, but their commitment to God is also something that they have to fight for, and their commitment to each other is something that they have to fight for. And I think that's what you're teaching about in our lesson today and some lessons maybe to come. That has to be fought for. And I know two pastors, the man and the woman are both ministers. and they their relationship falls apart. So I mean, it's not just somebody that is maybe a babe and somebody that's mature, but even two mature Christians can have a problem because they have to fight for that relationship. They have to fight to be together because Satan is trying to tear them apart. So it, they can be equally yoked and still have problems. And we know that they're going to have problems because Satan doesn't want them to be together.
But
because
you know up front.
Go ahead.
But don't you know up front, Dr. Nooks? They said that they understood that it was going to be a problem when he accepted his call to ministry. When they were both Christians, he was not a minister when they got married. He accepted his call to ministry, and she did not want to take that responsibility of being that intimate involved in church. Now, as you said, and this is what we need to see across the page, and Dr. Nooks has said this a couple of times. The real issue that underlies the relationship challenge is the battlefield, is the battle for the relationship in the first place. Number one, you got two people who are Christians and are children of God, and the enemy does not want them to be successful, so the battle is going to take place. No matter what, whether, like Dr. Nook said, whether you are a strong believer, a mature believer, whether you are a young believer in the Lord, a new babe and growing, you're going to have some problems because the enemy does not want you to be one and strong in the Lord. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? Anybody?
Amen. Amen. Double amen.
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 Double amen.
So the biggest issue at this point is understanding that wherever the dynamic is in this relationship issue, you know it's going to be a fight. So
amen.
We've established that. We've got the relationship. We got people who love the Lord. We know that the enemy doesn't. And let's look at this. Don't you know that when it's just one of you, the enemy is seeking whom he may devour? He's after you when it's just one of you. So if it's two
Amen.
Of you trying to be one, come on now, somebody. If it's two of you trying to be one, then he definitely doesn't want you because as one, you're more powerful. You are united force working on behalf of the kingdom. He don't want that.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, Brother Brian. Step
Amen.
On up. Start talking about the stuff you know. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Is
yeah,
he still on
true.
The line? He's still on the line? So what
yeah,
happens the second step? The second step is now that we've got these couples who said that they are choosing to use God as a part of the triangle effect in their relationship, it's them and God, then the enemy surely wants to bust that up. Amen? So this is where the fight begins, and the enemy is going to do everything he can to destroy. So
Amen.
That's what we know at this point, and we can all agree on that. We all agree on that,
Amen.
Dr. Nooks, and you're right. Sometimes it is semantic, but one thing we know is that anytime we got people who are trying to do something for the Lord, the enemy don't want it to happen. He wants to destroy before it gets off the ground. And most times when you have a couple, in this case, this was going to be a couple, a man who was going to serve the Lord, and the enemy wants there to be trouble to deter him from the purpose and the mission that God had for him. And his spouse,
Amen.
Who's supposed to be a help in the process, is struggling because the enemy is creating strife within her so that she doesn't feel like she can fit. I mean, you know, it can be blown up to all kinds of issues that come out of this. But the point
Amen.
is that a struggle begins. So my question now that we know we've got that, to strengthen that relationship, what's the first thing that they have to do? What do we have
to
do if we're going to have a relationship, whether it's to a relationship in marriage or a relationship that's committed, what are we going to have to do, the first thing, to strengthen that personal relationship? What are we going to have to do?
This is Brett. Love unconditionally.
That's important, but it ain't the first thing, Brother Brett. The very first thing we got to do, come on, y'all, this is fundamental. The very first thing we got to do.
We have to submit to God.
That's right. God has to be first. What do y'all think about that?
I agree.
I think
Brian from
I think it has to be. It has to be that
I
way.
I agree too.
If
yeah. I
God
want
has to be
it,
first.
I think that you have to not only say it with your mouth, but you have to believe it with your heart, and you have to do the work, because it's easy to say we are as one or we are going to be as one, but you have to put you have to put in that work, because it's not going to be
Amen.
Easy, and there's going to be
Amen.
Trouble. The Bible says, "Work without faith is what."
Dead. Faith dead. Without works is dead.
Amen.
Faith without works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Show
Amen.
Me your faith by your works. Amen. So we need to have godly works to show our faith.
I hear somebody in the back. Is somebody else talking? I can't hear. I hear somebody talking. So put your phones on mute if you're not... saying anything.
I took him in the kitchen with me, but he's
okay.
Hey, I just called to bring him about that fuck work.
Okay, somebody's they're off mute. All right. So, they're on mute now. So, did I lose everybody or did I just lose that one person?
I'm here.
Hello.
James.
Okay.
I'm here.
Good.
Present.
Okay. All right. Okay. So if we understand, go ahead. I hear you trying to stutter something out. I was going to say it.
Well, this is James. I was just going to say that it's so important that we established that we had to be submissive to God, and God has to be number one. And I think that's really important in a marriage, because we're supposed to be equally yoked and we're supposed to be partners in the relationship. We're supposed to be working together. And I think in order for a couple to work together, they have to realize that they are partners with each other, and that God is what we is the head, we need to cut down some of the battles that we have with each other. And I think that's so important. And God, making God first, or number one, I think helps reduce some of the battles that we have and the conflicts that we have with each other.
Well,
and I think
the
brother was
talking
earlier about we have to live it, not just talk about it, and that's tough.
Right, and Ephesians 4:2 says, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. So if you start off with your premise being one that has God in them, who lives in God, then if you have that premise to begin with, then you got some place to go to when you're having when the war begins. If you don't have that beginning place, which is what we said what defines it as a godly marriage, then you don't have that place where you can go to God in consultation, where you can go to God in faith together, where you can lean and depend on a higher power outside of yourselves. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. John 15:12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And we know that because when we take these basic Bible scriptures that we know and love and we understand that that's what God wants for each of us. But then when we come as a couple to the table, we begin to understand the significance of why it's so important. Because as my brother Brian was saying, it takes a whole lot of work. And so you ought not be getting married if you ain't wanting to work. I'm telling you. You need to run. Hello? Ain't nobody saying nothing.
Amen. That's true.
So,
amen.
So let me ask the questions. You all just got through giving all that. So give me some scripture with what you have to say. You know, it's one thing to give me your perspective, Brian, and Brian from Maine and Brian from Louisville and Dr. Nooks. So you talked about how as one individual that you come into the table and you have conflict now. So what gives you the directive to know that you have to go back to the Lord to do your working together? That you don't do it because this is what Brian said or this is what James said, but you go back because this is what the Lord tells you to do, to come back together and then to solve your relationships with one another. And that's what we do when we have – that's the whole point of having a Christian union. It's ordained by God, right?
Amen.
Is that you can go back because God is a part of the triangle of that relationship, and that's who you go to consult, to take your woes, and you understand that the enemy is fighting. And I guess that's why it's really important to see that the Bible tells us that it's principalities and wickedness in high places. It's not that individual. It's the enemy who's trying to divide and to conquer. But when you're arguing, does anybody think about that? I mean, seriously. Y'all blowing this off. You're not, I'm serious. What happens when you're in the midst of an argument? Is anybody thinking about that? Ain't the enemy. That's her. She said that.
We are supposed to. But we get distracted by our own ego and worldly thoughts, but we are supposed to stop, and we are supposed to evaluate exactly what is happening according to what the Lord has taught us, but we tend not to.
But, Brian, this sounds real good, but we don't do that. That's why 50% of our marriages are more end in divorce, even the Christian ones. So what do we do? I mean, it's not enough to talk about what we should do.
Well,
everybody
I think
quiet?
That if you, except for me, if you both are into the Lord, if you both are into the Word, and you both come to the relationship with some knowledge of what the Bible says, you ought to have some or be able to pull some scripture out and go into devotion about, okay, this is where our disagreement is. So because we don't disagree with each other, this is what the Bible says that we ought to do and what steps that we ought to take. Let's be honest. We're not going to agree with each other all the time. So sometimes we have to take some time to step back out of that and think and read and study for ourselves, because when you are in disagreement with each other, a lot of times when you're listening to the other person, you're not listening to them. You're only listening to them to defend yourself or what you believe in as far as your relationship is concerned. So that's why it's important to bring that word into play as far as your thoughts are concerned and as far as your indifferences are concerned.
So let me ask this question, Brian. Can you direct your relationship to a spiritual level if you haven't reached it personally?
I think that...
And I want to ask everybody that. I don't want to just pick on you. I want to ask everybody that.
I love to be picked on, so I don't have a problem with that. everybody is on the same spiritual level. You have to recognize that when you're in your relationship, that you're not on the same spiritual level, but you have to be open-minded to listen to what the Word has to say. It says, lean not into thine own understanding. So you can't, you just can't go by your understanding. That's why you, if you have knowledge of the Word, husband, bring that Word to your wife. Wife, bring that Word to your husband and show him or her, what does it say in the Bible? What does it say in the Word in regards to our relationships? And then you're doing it together. When you're doing it together, you're growing. And if you're not growing at that minute, that second, that time, it takes time because not everybody is going to agree with you. I know people that when you point the Word out to them in the Bible where it says certain things, they still want to argue with you. They still disagree with you. So they're getting you not on the same level.
But what about this, you guys? Before imposing that goal into the relationship, don't you think you should strengthen your own faith and relationship with God first? Because
Absolutely. Only
God can only work in your relationship if you let him work in you first. So if
Absolutely.
You know that that's what you need to do, then each person should take their own responsibility
Yes.
of strengthening their faith relationship before they start imposing that, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, because God can only work in each of you first.
Right, right.
That's what my perspective. What do you think, Dr. Nixon, Brian? What I just said is you cannot direct your relationship into the spiritual level if you have not reached it personally yet. And before imposing that goal into the relationship, you should strengthen your own faith and relationship with God, because God can only work in your relationship if you let God work in you first.
Take that step.
You
got
to be willing to submit first. So what do you
right.
all say about that? Let's get some dialogue. Come on, Dr. Nix, Brian. What do y'all think?
You definitely need you can go ahead, Brian.
It's okay you disagree with me, James.
Submit. First of all, submit
the
to
easy
the word.
Way to say it.
Yeah. Well, you need to be striving yourself. You always need to be striving yourself. I don't know that you have to be to a certain level to try to get your relationship to another level. I think you can do that together in prayer and relationship with God. But I think you do have to continue to grow in your relationship with God in order to even think about having a relationship with somebody else. And I was just going to take you to Ephesians 5:21, where it says, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. And this is
Absolutely.
Before it gets to wives. Be subject to your husbands, and husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. Before that,
yeah, and
comes,
that's a whole
other
story.
That verse. Yeah, be subject to one
story.
Another.
But Dr. Nuts, I'm not saying that you can't strive in a relationship together. What I'm saying is you have to be accountable for your own relationship first. You know where you need
I believe
to go.
That.
You need to be responsible for being accountable to strengthening your faith relationship so that God can work through you. And each of you, if you're each doing that, then God can build you where you need to go. But you can't direct something if you haven't achieved it yet. So you got to go back and submit and let God work on you. But you got to be willing to submit to that. Not say, okay, we're going to go do this and this and this. No, you got to say, you know, Lord, I ain't got this. I'm going to submit to you right now, and I got to work on this first. And I got to let you work in me first, because I know where I want us to go as a group. But if I haven't submitted to it, we can't submit to it.
But I don't think it has to be chronological. I don't think
how can God work in you though if you haven't submitted?
God works in the couple. I mean, if you are connected together, if you join together, I think there's levels that both of you have to get to. I don't think one has to get somewhere, and then Danny said, you know, God, I pray that we can get here. You know, it's we can get there together. I don't think that, you know, if you did that, then you're not moving together. And I think you need to start moving together. So God, help us to get to this level. Help us to be able to do that. Naturally, we need to
but
be accountable and responsible for ourselves. But I don't think you have to. One has to get to some place before you can work on that together as a couple.
Well, the concern that I have about that is that, as I stated earlier, that in a relationship, everybody is not on the same level. So how do you get to the level that the other person is on if you're not submitting to God
mm-hmm.
on that level?
That's right.
Know? Because
that's right.
We're not, none of us are on the same level. So how do you get to that point as a couple?
There are other people? That's a good question, Brian, because I think the only way you can do that is if you individually submit. It doesn't mean that you don't have to work towards the goal, but you have to individually say, Lord, work on me. I'm responsible for me. We are going to be a we, but I'm a me so that we can be a we. And in order for me to be a we, I have to submit to God so that God can work through us. That's
everybody
how I see it.
Has
Dr.
to
Nook
submit.
Sees it. Dr. Nook sees it differently.
Everybody.
That's okay, Doc. It's okay.
No. Everybody has to be submissive to God for themselves and ask God to work on them as individuals. But you also, if you're going to work as a couple, you don't have to attain a certain level before you can pray that your wife or your husband can move together with you to the level that God wants you to go to. I think we always have to be as being submissive to God and praying to God for ourselves, but I don't think you have to do one before you can do the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some things that we can do, walk and chew gum at the same time. So, both individuals have to be accountable to God for their self and their own growth and be submissive to God, but you can also move together.
But how can you move if you haven't already reached that level? But
you
that's
ask
a
God
thought.
To
that's
move
a thought.
There.
Does anybody else have any perspective?
Wait a minute, Brian.
Hold on, Brian.
Okay.
Can you guys mute whoever that is with the music in the background? Can you mute it? Okay, go ahead, Brian.
I'm the one with the music.
Oh.
I can't control that. I'm sorry. But let me say quickly, if y'all don't mind, I want to use myself in this. Let me change that. I want to use a family member, okay? I have a family member who is a Baptist, and his wife is Catholic. So they've been married for many, many years, but they don't agree on everything when it involves the word, because Baptists and Catholics do things differently. This male figure studies the Bible all the time. He knows it very well. He knows scripture, and the problem that I'm hearing is that because he studies and his spouse does not study, and she's Catholic, when he brings the word, not Baptist, the Baptist word or the Catholic word, he brings the word to her and shows her this is what's in the Bible and this is where it's located, the location is, and this is what it says. Because she's Catholic, she is having a hard time accepting that. And that's what I was mentioning earlier about when you point the word out to someone where it's black and white,
You don't have to. You're not there trying to figure out what is it saying. It says black and white, what his laws and his commandments are. So how do you deal with that when you're in a relationship with someone who is of a different belief system? But when you bring the word to them, they still struggle with believing what the word said. That's my question.
And that's why I said, go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
This is Brian from Maine. I was Roman Catholic until 26 years old when I was saved in October 1979. Over the last 25 years or so, I have studied a lot about what makes Roman Catholicism quite different from core Christianity. And there are a lot of things, many, many aspects of Roman Catholicism. And so I feel I can safely say that most Catholics who I've witnessed to, most Catholics who I've invited to Bible study with our Christian groups, really were not saved Christians. And therefore looked at the Bible, looked at their Bible, including the Roman Catholic canon, very differently than we look at the Word of God ourselves, to the point where I believe a lot of Roman Catholics that are married to Christians are in an unequal yoke situation.
My mom was Catholic too, but she believed that she was saved, but she wanted to become a Protestant so that she could study and grow deeper in her faith. So, I don't know.
Yes. The good news is some Roman Catholics are saved and some Roman Catholics are Christian people. But I was taught as long as I was a Roman Catholic, I had nothing else to do. That saved me by itself. And I know that a lot of Roman Catholics who I've spoken to do believe that. And it's fundamentally not correct.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's just being a part of the church, and in Vatican II, they really weren't studying the Bible very much either, and many of them still don't. But in Vatican II, they did start studying the Bible more since that, not in 1968. So yeah, you have Catholics at the different levels of the word, and understanding of the word now.
So
the Catholics would say
tonight,
that they're saved.
So tonight, this is what my homework question is to everybody on the line, all the way to Louisville. Y'all go home and come back with the answer. And my question again is, you do or don't believe that you can direct your relationship onto a spiritual level if you personally have not reached it yet? Do you believe that you can direct your relationship to a certain spiritual level if you have not reached it personally yet? Do you believe, before imposing that goal into the relationship, the spiritual goal that you have for both of you, that you need to strengthen your own faith and relationship with God? That God can only work in the relationship if you let God work in you first. Meaning that...
Isn't there scripture that suggests this can get the speck out of your own eye before you can get the speck out of the other person's eye? I can't remember that chapter and verse.
There is an Old Testament scripture that says that. So what I want you guys to do is to go home, come back with your scriptures and your perspectives, and bring your arguments. And this is really important, because if we're going to be in relationship with people, I think it's important for us to take ownership of our growth and our accountability as part of the relationship. I think also that we do have to grow forward, and we do have to go together, but you have to take ownership of your own stuff and let God work in you before you can start saying, I mean, you just do. And then as God has, once you have obtained, from my perspective, once you have allowed God to use you and begin to work in you, then as a team, you can grow. You can start moving forward. But you have to be willing to submit first. I'm not saying you have to have it mastered. I'm saying you have to let God work in you. You got to be submissive at that point where you're allowing God to work in you, or else you're not ready. From my perspective, I'm going to go get my stuff. I'm going to bring it back just like y'all, and we're going to dialogue about it just like we did tonight. And I think this is really important because this is fundamental to begin the relationship. And if we can't do this, and the second thing I want us to say before we close is we already said we have to love God first before the partner. We know that God desires that we love him 100%. He says, you should have no other gods before me. And he has every right, God is the word I need to use, has every right to demand that God should be first in your life because he created you for God's self. Colossians 1:16. I got that scripture. I know that one. And thirdly, it's about fearing the Lord and then praying for one another. So when we come back, we're going to talk about those things right there. We're going to talk about the question I asked you about you need to strengthen your personal relationship with God. First, be submissive to God. Love God before you love your partner. But fear the Lord. Pray with each other. And understanding that you have to be willing to be one with that person. The Bible says to leave and cleave, to leave the family, to leave others, leave everybody. And this is going to be a relationship between you and that individual for life. You become one as you submit before the Lord. So, and I have a scripture for that as well. So I'm coming back fully prepared. Forgive me for not having my scripture tonight, but I'm going to be ready for you next week. So, Brian, don't you be shucking. We're going to be looking for you from Louisville next week with your scriptures. Brother Brian from Maine, same to you. Brother James, you always have yours. Come on back. Brother James has already said you don't have to do it my way. He says you can. It's not a chronological thing. You can both be going in that direction. And this is a good thing about our Bible study is that we ain't going to force anybody to believe anything. We have our perspectives.
All right.
We're here to challenge and stretch each other. And so we're going to bring that truth back of what we believe and why. So bring your scriptures back next week as we go out.
That's
and
true.
Those of you who are listening, yes, sir.
Yeah, just for
go ahead.
I got one question. What you
go
were
ahead.
Just
go
quoting
ahead.
About, that was Genesis 2:24. However, my question is this. Are you assuming that you're referring to a man and a woman, or is it a boy or a girl? Because we got a lot of boys and girls that are grown. They're over the age of 21, but they haven't become. Go ahead.
We only talking about the man and woman relationship. We ain't got that deep, brother Britt. We gonna deal with the basic. We dealing with the relationship that has God in the center of
gotcha.
It. One that is equally yoked. One that is male female. Because we fundamentally we still struggling with the battle with just that. So that's what we gonna
okay.
deal with.
Gotcha. I got you.
A little bit right there. Thank you for clarifying that, though, because everybody can know what we're talking about. Woo! Hey, Brother Brian from Louisville. Brother Brian, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
So if you don't mind, we'll be looking to hear from you next week with your answers and your scripture. Brian, somebody, you like a challenge, right? Oh man, he just hung up and got off the line. No.
I'm still here, but I have you on mute because I'm talking to someone.
Okay, so
and I want y'all to hear.
Don't answer that. Wait till next week. I'm telling you.
So Brian, we're looking for you next week.
Absolutely.
Bring it next week.
Y'all love
All right, you. We'll talk to you next
week.
Yeah, I'm
going to bring
God's blessings be with
you. I'm going to bring it.
All right, we got you.
All
we
right.
got you.
Thank you all.
So Brother Brian.
Thank everybody
you.
For their
Brother
input.
Brian.
Yes.
Okay, Brother Brian from Maine, we expected you to bring some answers and some questions as well. And Brother James, we want to hear from you and get some scriptures to support what you're saying. God's blessing be with
I'm
you as
it.
We close tonight. As we close tonight, Dr. Nooks, would you close us out and send us an offering of relationship with God?
Well, God, we thank you for Bible study tonight. We thank you for your presence. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your
Amen.
Spirit. We thank you for Jesus dying for us and rising again.
Yes.
And we thank you for being a part
yes, Lord.
Of us. And God, we are part of you. And it's so just so wonderful to have divinity abiding inside of us. And we rejoice at that tonight. And we ask you to bless our leader, Dr. Susie. Help those that are all the people that are
yes.
on the line. Help their families. Help those that we are close with. Help us, God, to fashion and grow relationships, godly relationships.
Yes, Lord.
And God, there may be someone on the line tonight who would like to be saved and they want to give their life to Christ. And we invite those people, you know, to just say, I love Christ and I love you, God, and I believe that God raised from the dead. He is your son. And because he rose, I know that I'm saved today if I believe in him, and I believe in him, and I accept him as my personal Savior. And I want you to come into my life tonight, Christ, and make me a new creature. I give my life to you. And if you
Amen.
Pray that prayer, that you're saved right now. And God, continue to direct us. Help us, God, to understand you better. Help us to understand one another better. God, we know that you tell us that we need to love one another. And we
yes.
want to do that. So help us to grow in that love and understanding. And then help us to show our love, the love that you've given us mm-hmm. to other people, that they might see that there's something different about those people that believe in Jesus. And God, we pray a special prayer for revival in church tonight and revival in our country
yes.
and all over the world. We give it all over
yes.
to you, God. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 For those of you who have accepted
Amen.
Christ as your personal Savior, feel free to drop us a line at drsusie@loveconnection@gmail.com and to let us know that you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. That's drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. And feel free to join a Bible-based church in your community. God's blessings be with you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.